Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. This is yours truly, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, your host. And we're grateful that you've joined us again. Perhaps one of the most important conditions to maintaining unity in a group of people is trust. However, in order for trust to exist, there must be instruction and common identity, vision, and prosperity. I'm going to pick up on that a little bit more in just a minute, but let me again welcome you to this episode of Talk Straight, sponsored by Building Families and Communities Institute, which is a research arm of our nonprofit based in Nashville, Tennessee, and that being Building Families and Communities Missions Incorporated. We've been in existence since 1998. You can call us here tonight live. If you're watching us live stream on Facebook, thank you. Enter your questions or comments as we progress through the show via Facebook there. Or you can give us a call, 657-383-0944. Again, that's 657-383-0944. Be happy to entertain your question and or comments. All we ask is that you keep it relevant to our topic tonight, as well as be respectful to one another as we share our concepts and ideas. Now, I go through great length to make sure what we are sharing with you is factually based and that you can go back and reference that information. But I don't expect everyone to agree with me as well. But we do expect everyone to be respectful to one another. All right, while we're on the air. And we certainly don't want to cut one another's off, things of that nature. But thank you again for joining us here to Talk Straight. If you're just tuning in for the first time, I'll have a brief monologue, and then we'll come in and open up our discussion here. We expect Pastor Ricky Waller, our regular panelist, to come and join us, our co-host, if you will, as well as those others who have been graciously participating over the last number of months and what have you here. So we realize people live in busy lives, and this is a good time to make this announcement now. This coming Thursday, we won't be airing a live broadcast. Both Pastor Waller and I both will be together participating in another function that won't allow us to do so. However, you can go on Facebook. We intend to post a previously recorded show so that you can hear that and enjoy that. And we'll be back the following Tuesday. All right. Having said that, let's go ahead and get right into it. I think I told you can call us here at 657-383-0944. I think I said that already. With that being said, let's get to our monologue and open up our phone lines here ultimately. July 10th, 2018. The topic tonight is how to put trust back in urban American communities. Okay, so I'm hearing different thoughts in different individuals' minds about urban America. Let's be clear, in 2018, in many ways, for different reasons, urban situations have changed. You know, gentrification is sweeping or have swept America, such that urban areas that traditionally were blighted and poverty-ridden are not the same. So I understand that there's a difference, but we want to give you some sort of historical context for what we're talking about. But I believe it's important for us to have spiritual guidance as well. Job, the 14th chapter and the 7th verse, reads very simply, rather inspiring text. For there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Psalms 33 and 16, verses 16 through 22 says very quickly, there is no king save by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety, neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver thy soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Last verse 20. For our soul, weigheth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Just a little something to hold on to there. We may will be integrating those two texts in our conversation tonight. As I was saying earlier when we first came on the show, perhaps one of the most important conditions necessary to maintaining unity among a group of people is trust. Unfortunately, within many urban areas presently, there's a struggle, and trust seems to have eroded. Trust in one another to pool resources together and to share certain things. Trust in one another to not be afraid and to lean on one another and to give to one another and to hold one another up. Trust in the notion that if I leave my child with you, I don't have to worry if they're in good hands or not. Trust has eroded. Now, why is that? That's the question we really want to answer tonight. Let's look at it. Consider that when we talk about building trust in a communal setting, everybody comes from different families. But yet there's a need for one common thought and instruction of that thought. Sociologically and historically, in various cultures, particularly in the East and Africa, it was commonly understood that there were elders who provided a basis of instruction for every family and every child that is under the covering of their father in their home. And there was a unified belief and agreement that this is good and profitable for all of us and our children, our families. Women, everyone. There was a time, though, in the urban experience for African Americans many of those things existed. But let me just briefly give a background on the evolution of urban communities in America, because they haven't always been just heavily populated African American. Okay? After the Civil War, around 1870 or so, when we were talking about the Reconstruction era and what have you, industrial expansion brought major changes to American society. Increasingly, the United States became urbanized. Cities began to grow, not only in terms of their population, the number of people, but as well as their size. And they were in a situation where you all of a sudden started seeing skyscrapers, taller buildings beginning to build and what have you. These push cities upward. And as they expand their geographical boundaries, they also spread themselves wider. Okay? Transportation systems made it possible for a city to go from one end to another and elongate itself. Now, one major influencer of urban population was the unexpected migration of poor Europeans, the Irish, the German, Polish, individuals that were fleeing poverty and famine and so forth in England, Italy, as I said, as well as Poland and regions like that during World War I, World War II. So it was not just black people or African American that were in urban areas. Now, interestingly enough, they left. August Meir wrote a book about entitled From the Plantation to the Ghetto, and he describes how they came, how African Americans came from the South in droves around the 1950s or so. This was not the only migration, but this was a major migration. And after slavery was over and there was Jim Crow oppression and things of that nature, poverty and the sharecropping system was very much in effect, they left there because a newspaper known as the Defender that started in Chicago, it sent information down south to different points of the South to inform them of opportunities up north in the factories as America was becoming more and more industrialized. And so people went. African-Americans, blacks, went from all parts of the South, those major 14 southern cities, basically, that were largely populated by former slaves, now freed people who were in the plantation system. They left, and they went up north, but when they got there, they had a problem. They were competing with these Europeans who began to come in large droves around 1917. To the United States. Some of them left and went and fought in the World War I and World War II. And others were working in the factories. When they came back, those that survived the war, they found that, hey, here's another population of people taking my job. And it caused major friction. In fact, there were numerous riots that ensued as a result of it. But these people were poor too. They were violent. In fact, we talked about gangsterism and what have you. It was started by Europeans, the Irish and the Italians, and even Jewish populations were engaged in activities for them. In their mind, these were ways by which they were trying to survive and they were trying to produce for themselves, and it became really ugly and nasty, particularly among the Italian and the Irish mafia that developed itself historically. Well, black folk watching this, black folk growing up saying, well, doggone, maybe I should be violent too. There was a time where there was a sense of unity and identity and values. And E. Franklin Frazier talks about the black bourgeoisie in one of his books. And he describes how there was, in fact, a middle class. Dr. Henry Louis Gates writes as well about My Kind of People, another book he entitled, and he describes the black middle class, the sense of value that they had. But all of a sudden, even though they were struggling economically, they had a certain value base. But something happened over time. And I'm going to go on record as saying I believe that part of that was the promise of the New Deal that says government will take care and solve all of your woes. Perhaps to some people that translated in their minds to, you don't have to work as hard anymore. You ain't got to put too much time in because we're going to take care of you. Well, now, wait a minute now. I don't know about that. I'm going to do for me. You understand what I'm saying? You do for me, you, I'm going to do my thing. But at the end of the day, what happened is, I believe, an over-dependency. And as time progressed and other social battles, such as trying to fight Jim Crow oppression, as well as the rights to vote and economic equity and things of that nature, the promise became greater from the government. We'll do that for you. We'll take care of that for you. Well, now, if another man is taking care of my children and my wife, where does that leave me? Help me, Holy Ghost. Something wrong with that problem, right? Now, that's an interesting proposition. Well, what I'm getting at is the fact that as these urban neighborhoods grew, and the Italians and the Jews and the Polish and Germans began to, some kind of way, they figured that thing out, how to make money and make it honestly within the context of American law and economic system. And they began to own businesses. Huh? And somehow we got left there. Certainly over the last 30, 40 years, it's been very interesting how, while we are there in those neighborhoods that used to be ghettos, poverty-ridden ghettos, where Europeans lived as well, now all of a sudden they're just African-American ghettos. Let's put the word where the squeak is. A ghetto being a place with restricted and limited resources where individuals are forced to compete for those limited resources, and they have no other place to go. Some of my writings, I talked about the ghetto line, which is an invisible line where some people won't cross. I remember growing up in Chicago, running crazy in the streets and what have you. We would fight everything and everybody, but somehow we knew not to go in certain neighborhoods or lay a finger on certain folks. That's an example of the ghetto line I'm telling you about. But we're talking about putting trust back in urban communities. Now, the reality is, with gentrification, some of those folk that lived there for decades, for generations, have been moved out. They can't even afford to come live there no more. So is the ghetto the same? Here's what's important. You have to follow those people and track them for where they are. And what we see is crime has begun to spread itself and has become more prevalent in more areas. Used to be concentrated in the housing projects or in poverty-ridden areas where folk that were committing crimes were committing them against one another. But now we see other people, particularly in the gentrified areas of America, becoming the victims of the same mentality because they're still struggling to find self. Now, what I would suggest to you is that what is needed in order to bring the trust back is unity among ourselves, raising our children to identify with some sense of purpose. Now, I'm going to tell you, you can't do that without having some spiritual weighting to balance your life. Hence the text that for Job 14 and 7, if there is hope, watch this, y'all, there is hope that if a tree, I'm paraphrasing, is cut down, okay, and that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Now, what Psalm 33 tells us is that there is no king that can save you. How powerful you think he is? Some people put their stock in their horse. Horse can't save you either. Some people carry a pistol. They think they can fix their problems with a pistol. Everybody's got a pistol. Some folks think their money, their influence, their education is going to do it for them. wrong answer again. But unity is needed, and we have to realize that when I hurt you, I hurt me. Huh? It's not cute. It's not funny. It's amazing to me how people can see a tragedy and just stand around and spectate. Nobody want to get in and do anything to stop it. Like it's funny. And take pictures of it and post it out on social media. Instagram, Facebook, there's something funny about that. Really? Again, we're talking about how to put trust back in urban American communities. First, people, we've got to realize that there's yet hope. It ain't over yet. And to that point, I want to take you to these brothers, call themselves Mel and Tim. In 1972, they had a hit song. Somebody may know what I'm talking about here. Just for a second, listen to that.
Preston Union.
Hey.
Telegram for Mel Hardy. Sign him, please.
Hey, Tim. This is from Barbara.
Oh, what is she talking about, man?
She says she still loves me.
Hmm.
She can't do without me. And she'll be here tomorrow.
What? I thought you had settled all of that, man.
Hey, man. See, you just don't understand. I never stopped loving her. I just wasn't ready to accept the love she was willing to give. But if she still loves me, there's nothing in the world that can keep us from making it this end.
Starting all over again is gonna be rough.
Mm.
So rough. But we're gonna make it.
Oh, yeah.
Starting all over as friends is gonna be tough.
But there's hope.
But we gonna make it up.
Yes, sir.
So I know it's gonna be
enough.
To erase all the hurt and tears. Starting all over again. It's gonna be.
I better leave that thing right there because I'm starting to get happy and open up these phone lines before I get too happy and run away from here. Pastor Ricky Waller, how you doing, sir?
Yes, I'm all right. How you doing, sir?
Mighty fine. And guess who we got now? Brother 1098. What do you say, 1098?
All right.
Good, good, good.
Man, listen. Wait, go ahead, Pastor. I'm sorry. Say that again.
How you doing, Outcast?
Good, good. What about yourself?
Yeah, I'm good, man. Thank you. Yeah, appreciate
yes,
it, man.
You
yeah,
know,
got another
gentlemen. One. I'm sorry, Pastor. Go ahead. I keep cutting you off. I apologize.
No, you're doing good. I said, I got another year old today, man. My birthday today, so I thought
oh,
I'd take
happy birthday.
Yeah.
Happy
birthday,
man.
Birthday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
okay.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother.
Well, baby, God bless you.
Yes,
yes,
sir. Thank you, sir.
We appreciate you taking time on your birthday.
Yes, sir.
So let me ask y'all, if we fall and have to start all over again, do we give up? Anybody.
Go ahead.
I'm asking the question. We fall. Sometimes, let me rephrase it. Let me put it together. Oftentimes, when we face a rough spot, and particularly in urban areas, communities, and what have you, everybody tell our story but us. And they don't really know what's going on in their heart. But sometimes what we hear from others start to weigh on us. We start to bleed that mess. And some folk think it's over for them. Is it over, Outcast?
No. No, it's never over. You know,
I mean,
it's
you know
over
what I'm saying?
If you give up. You know, it's
watch
over
out,
if one give up. You know, but if you don't give up and keep moving, the fight will continue. You know?
Mm.
And if you're trying hard enough and doing everything in the proper manner, as instructed to do, you will succeed.
Right.
At least we as a people will succeed.
Okay. Well, you know, you got all kind of people who say, if you don't have a degree, Outkast, you know, and if you got a felony record, man, you might as well just go get it the best way you can, because they ain't going to let you have nothing. It's going to be hard for you, man. You ain't going to be able to make it and try to follow the law. I mean,
yeah, well, you know, I mean, no, nah, that's totally false. Now, take James Brown on that. I don't want nobody giving me nothing. I'm up and doing, I get it myself.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
You know, concerning degrees and things of that nature, any type of degree is good. Any amount of education is good.
Right.
With your pound or beat an ounce, 365 days a year. You know, at the end of the day, a lot of people are afraid of education. Yeah, if you want to compete, yes, you're going to need some education. You know.
I'm glad you said that. Hold on one second. We got 8112 joining us and 3122. That's Illinois and Alabama that's joining us here tonight.
All right.
Welcome, guys, to Talk Straight.
Thank you.
All right.
Tonight, we're talking from the topic, how to put trust back in urban American communities. Do you all accept the premise that trust is gone?
Mr. Dockery, guess what happened to me this morning?
What happened?
What's that, Don? What happened?
I walked in the shot house, and the sister's about 79 years old. So when you come out of the shot house, which is on Lauderdale, everybody's selling crack. And Mama said, this is exactly where she said this morning, Mr. Dockery. She said, where is the babies? There's no children in the neighborhood. Everybody's selling crack in Selma. They ain't having no babies. And she ain't lying.
Well, what about the 8112?
I don't know. I don't know anything about crack house. When you said shot house, I said, what is that? So
that's where you buy liquor.
Huh?
That's where you buy liquor.
That's where you buy liquor, he said.
Oh, it's a store.
That's right.
I'm sorry, sir. I didn't mean, you know.
Okay.
I got on here for a reason right now because there's a lot going on in Peoria right now. And ask you guys for your prayers for my children. They just lost their youngest brother.
Oh, no.
Night before last. So that's why we need all the prayer we can get.
Okay. All right. Well,
but as far as trust,
all right.
To go back to what you asked me, sir, it's got to be hard for these young kids out here because so many of them, they do as they know. And foolishly, when they finally catch someone, as your own self has been doing, from my understanding, trying to tell them the right way to go, they don't know, should I believe him? Why should I believe you?
Right. Okay.
Why should I believe you? My mama told me to trust the po-po. I can't trust him. He's killing all of the young men, whether they be right or wrong, mind you. All of them ain't right now. So I'm right now I'm at a loss of words. I'm kind of, my heart is torn again. And I need you. We all need prayers every day. Every day.
Okay.
Mr. Dockery.
Yes, sir.
You know Reverend Belvin, Mr. LaRouche Nim, and you know that. And now I done got even more information from the Moore brothers out of Baltimore. But you know that there's an organization in the United States that are called Scottish Rite Confederate Ku Klux Klan that got a Masonic book that defined the female as the devil. They the one been out here shooting our children down. So why the ministers didn't sound the alarm, I don't know. And I was going to tell Mr. Dockery. Also, I had learned from the Moorish Republic over in Baltimore about how Lincoln got assassinated and was sent over to the where the Pope was. You know what I'm saying? What's the name? It was Booth. Booth killed Lincoln. He was a Scottish Rite Mason. He goes over and stays with the Pope. Go ahead.
Hey, Don.
So these are folks been killing our children.
I don't mean to cut you off, but I got you. I think what you're doing is you're linking that thought, but a lot of what you're saying is requires background and backdrop that we really don't know about, and I don't want us to get lost in that discussion. But I take your point that there are forces out there that's got children
that are doing our children.
Yeah. Now, so we're talking about how can we bring that trust back to our own communities, right? How can we take responsibility for that? Let's talk about that, if we could. And I know that Pastor Waller has been very busy with some things. Pastor, you want to speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, I'm listening right now, and I'll come in just a minute.
Okay.
Kind of give my take on what's going
okay.
on. Just give me just a moment, and I'll share some things with
you. All right, well, that's okay. Let me go ahead and stick with our conversation here. So one of the questions that I wanted to raise tonight to the listening audience is, and we posted this on Facebook, is the African American subgroup the only subgroup that has been populated in urban American neighborhoods and that's had a struggle? Do either of y'all think
no.
that being the case, that they're the only group?
No.
Okay. All right.
12.
Go ahead, 81.
Somewhere, I think, this is just my own opinion, I think somewhere, somehow, something or someone has failed the people. Meaning, we've done our things in our day. The young people now, it almost feels to me like, and I say these with heartfelt tears, they don't give a damn, some of them.
Okay.
Not everyone. Because some of them feel like, why should I care? It's either you or me. Either
okay.
you do
yeah.
when you do me, then I got somebody come back and do you, and everybody loses out. And how do we build this trust? This is a big question. I would like for somebody to tell me so they can stop hurting each other.
Okay.
Because some of it, they're doing it themselves.
Sure. And I'm glad you raised that question, 8112. The truth of the matter is, we have to, and I'm not talking about the police right now, okay?
Exactly.
I'm talking about
I'm
talking about policing ourselves. We have to arrest our young people from the fallacies that the media and other things have created this false reality for.
Yes.
See, one of the reasons they're engaged in gangs and things of that nature is because somebody's planted that in their head that that's a way, that that's real, and that's an option.
Yes,
but
sir. I hear you.
I would tell you that if a young person is caught out there like that, that's an indication that they didn't have a father to guide them differently or a mother to teach them better. You see?
Yeah, well, okay, I respect that. Yes, sir.
So,
I can hear that.
So in 2018, the preachers, politicians, and anybody say that they are a figure of influence have to step up to the plate and be that surrogate parent for these babies who obviously don't have them. Don, what you're saying, the lady is saying, is that if they're out there in the street, ain't nobody watching the babies. They're at home by themselves.
It's,
oh, wow.
Mr. Dockery.
Yes.
Before I'm working at Raceway tonight. I clean up here. But before I came to Raceway, I was asleep on the couch. Guess who came to me in a dream?
Who was that?
Thirsty. Thirsty came to me in a dream a while ago.
Tell us who Thirsty is, right quickly.
Thirsty was one of the founders of the Vice Lord. He ran from the Roosevelt, all the way down Roosevelt Road was his territory. And he had a relationship with those Italians on Taylor Street. That's
Chicago, Illinois, listening audience that he's talking about. One of the original founders of the Vice Lord. And they were not about gang violence either. They were more about business and things of that nature. They actually I did a show on this. They actually had University of Chicago to help them raise money to try to improve the socioeconomic conditions of the communities over there on the west side of Chicago. All right.
And my understanding too, Mr. Dockery, he helped get that Lawndale Bank over there, which is now Liberty Bank.
Okay. All right. All right. But so is that something we can do today, Outcast? Can we pull our resources, man, and our strengths and our wisdom together to do that? Is that possible, Outcast?
Yes, nothing is impossible. The thing is this, you know, a group of people or three or four people, you know, coming together, you know, that have the funds to do something, you know, they can do it. Hope is always there. Hope never dies, you know.
Wow.
It was over the weekend. I looked at what was going on in Chicago. Thousands were out on the street, you know, protesting, you know, concerning the violence and things of that nature. But, but the thing is this, when they love doing what they're doing, even though it's against the law, I mean, you know, they're going to do it, you know. I mean, whether it be drugs.
Mr. Dockery?
Let him finish his thought, Don, then we'll come right to you.
Okay. All right.
Oh, no, I'm finished. I'm finished. Don can go.
Mr. Dockery.
He on the road.
Yes, sir.
There's a network between Chicago and Selma. They stealing grant money. I already see them. And that protest thing is a game ran by Jesse Jackson and Rose Sanders. And, Mr. Dockery, I think you were keeping tally on George Soros. It's called dumbing down to the population. That's actually going on. And matter of fact, Rose's daughter's hooked in with my sister Sherry, and Sherry's now in Africa. So don't think I ain't watching. I'm watching them.
I got you. Well, I will say this, Don and Outcast. I watched the. So here's what they did, Outcast. Fellow by the name of Father Flagan. He's a Caucasian priest over there in Inglewood on the south side, 79th. And he has predominantly black church, Catholic church. Okay? He went and got a permit to shut down Dan Ryan. He told him he was going to do it. He got permission. And for about an hour, they blocked up a major thoroughway in the city. I wanted to know this, Outcast. When they caught the culprits for all the killing in Inglewood and over in West Lundell that Don was describing on the west side, who they going to look like and what you going to do to them? That was the question I was asking. Yeah, who are you marching against?
Like doctors, your lawyers, your firemen, they may be your neighbor.
They are your neighbor. They look just like you and come from your same experience. Now, that's the problem. See, that's where the trust got to. That's where we got to put the trust back, 8112. We got to trust that if you catch me wrong, you're supposed to snatch me up and say, Dockery, you know you're wrong for that, man.
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Mr. Dockery.
In love, now.
Mr. Dockery.
In love.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Down here in Selma, we got a thing called the Edmonites. The Edmonites are Catholic. And matter of fact, when they attacked my dad, I was staying with some sisters at the St. James Hotel. Well, the sister jumped on me and she said, Don, she said, you don't take up for your daddy. She said, but I'm finna tell you a story. There was two guys that's working with the Catholic organization, and she was observing these guys. One guy name is Brad and Chad. She said, Don, we followed them around. Brad and Chad, I think one of them was married, would get his wife drunk, and they would go off and make love. So that Catholic church is full of, you know what, Mr. Dockery?
Well, you know what, Don? Here's one thing we don't have to do. If we see 10 monkeys jumping off a roof, we don't have to be number 11.
No.
Is that right?
I ain't going.
Is that right, Don?
That's right.
Just because you see folk doing things don't mean you got to do it. And that's one of the problems is our voice of reason and suggestions are coming from everything and everybody but folk that mean you well. Now, I'm a big proponent that I don't believe in being racially divided, but at the same time, 8112, there are some things at home I need to take care of, and everybody don't need to be in the middle of that. Would you agree with that,
8112? Don't care about that. You're right.
Yeah. So
it ain't
so you can.
Everybody
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I said, and you're right. It's not all your business. Too much information is as harmful as not enough.
Right. 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 So some of our business we need to take care at home, at the crib first.
You got to do your laundry. Take it to the laundromat. Wash it. Do your laundry. Once you do your laundry, then you know it's clean.
Now, here's one of them dirty laundries. Can I give you one of the dirty items that smell it?
Yes, sir.
We got young boys and young girls who think that the only gift that they can give to the world is something that is based in self-destruction, selling a body or manipulating something or somebody else.
Wow.
That's dirty laundry. But look, just talk straight now. I ain't going to talk crooked to you tonight. And the truth of the matter is we got to snatch them up. Pastor Waller jumping in any time and say, look here, little brother, little sister, I love you, but that's raunchy.
I do it all the time, baby. When I see
well,
it, I
mean,
I
that's
do
what
it.
I'm saying. Yeah. Go ahead, Al-Kay.
Oh, no, I was just letting it go. I was listening to 3112.
Mr. Dockery.
Yes, sir. And I don't know many families that don't have one of them little nieces or great nieces, a little cousin, a little nephew, a little uncle. People in their family don't have some of them in it. And if they told you they don't, there's a lie, I believe.
Well, now, do they
reach out to them? When they come to me, I come to them wholeheartedly. I speak wide openly, and I come down real hard like a shower of rain on their butt. Because guess what? What you doing already been did, but why you got to play the role that a little boy, a grown man, and we were speaking about young women, want you to fall short because you supposed to feel better about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
This is how I speak to him.
I see.
Send
that.
Let me help you make you bigger and better than that. I think you deserve more than that.
Okay. That makes sense. Don wanted to say something. Go ahead, Don. I'm sorry.
As I was walking coming to work, I went by and seen Miss West. Miss West and my dad and Dr. King used to stay together over behind Brown Chapel. Well, I went to Miss West because one of her sons helped get the KKK sheriff elected here. And it's like a tradition. It's like it was from Jim Clark, the Cock Nichols, to Huffman. Now this boy Grantham is coming in here, and Miss West's son helped get him elected. So I went by and talked to her a while ago, and I said, I seen Carl getting paid by Grantham over behind WHBB, him and his brother Mark. I told her, and then she kept saying, is that sheriff? I said, no, ma'am. I said, that's a good old boy, sheriff. So our people have not, like I said, Mr. Dockery, somebody done fail us to not educate our people about certain organizations that don't mean us no good. So I'm going to say it to the brothers again. These Scottish Rite Masons that say that they mama from the devil, why you ain't exposing them? I don't understand it. Y'all, your brothers in the pulpit need to help me out. Was Bush money in the faith base, was that good?
Well,
is that money that good?
Don, I'll tell you what. Unfortunately, a lot of it had to be returned because it wasn't used. So it didn't benefit nobody. But that's a whole nother story. That's a whole nother conversation. I will say this, though. You often make reference to your dad. That's James Luther Bevel, who was Dr. King's lieutenant, if you will, and helped organize the march there in Selma and in the sit-ins in Nashville and that sort of thing. That's who he's making reference to. We actually used some of his – we did a posthumous interview with him some time ago, early – was it last year or early this year? That's who he's making reference to. So, Don, sometimes everybody may not know what you're making reference to, so it'd be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to try to stay on topic as much as we could. But we're talking about putting trust back. Now, I will go back to the point, and I like what 8112 said. And that is, there are certain things about our experience, who is our, Negro, black, and colored, if you don't understand what I'm talking about, African American, that are unique. Now, Now, you said something, 8112. You said all of our families got a little bit of, I'm going to say, ghetto in them. Is that a good way of describing what you were saying?
That's fine.
Okay. Now, I'm going to challenge your position, if I may, just for a minute.
Do it. I
don't believe you
challenge.
Have to have ghetto in you. Not in 2018. What do you think about that?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand, sir.
I said I don't believe you have to have no ghetto in you.
No, because, I mean, ghetto is a word. I mean, really,
now,
technically, ghetto to me is
a
word, and it is a form of ignorance that people do.
Okay.
Because I can speak with some of the best one of them when I get ready, and I ain't been to college, and I ain't got to live and perform for nobody. I'm not on stage.
Right.
My point is, ghetto is ignorance. As people do it. Because some people are ghetto as all that, and we call them when they up there like that, quote unquote, boozy.
Okay. So my question, though, is do you have to behave like that?
No, you do not. No, you do not. No, sir. Your behavior is your own.
Okay.
Mr. Dockery?
Yes, sir, Don. You want to comment on that?
I was standing in the raceway here. And I'm gonna tell y'all, I've been struggling, Mr. Dockery. I was trying to buy me a truck, and I was sleeping down the Lauderdale around the area where they selling drugs and the prostitution going on. But I was working here at Raceway, give me a little extra money to get some gas and keep myself going. I looked out the window, Raceway, and I was looking towards Burger King, and I seen all these tractor trailer trucks with cotton on it. Now I'm a country boy. You know what I said? Oh, I see the game y'all running. Y'all want us to run the drugs, but you don't want us to raise the cotton.
Okay. Now, hold on.
Everybody don't have ghetto. I'm country.
I got you, Don. Now, let me push. Were you going to say something, Al-Kan?
Yes. Let's talk about education for a minute. And I want to get into here through 3112. 3112. You don't have to have a college education to run this country. What are the qualifications? What are the qualifications of Reverend Dockery for becoming president of the United States?
You have to be at least 35 years old, a natural-born American citizen.
Yes.
Okay.
But to me, what was the qualification for Mr. President? They still don't like calling him the president because he was a black man, but he was.
Well, we ain't going to get on Donald Trump tonight.
Okay,
now.
But I just want him to get his main point concerning education. And you have to have a 12th grade education, high school diploma. You know,
well,
a lot of people, listen, every ounce of education you get is good. But as long as you have an education, you know, you can stand on the podium. You can fight. And being versed in more than one area, which Reverend Dockery had hit this once before, being the minister of the family of Reverend Dockery. You remember? See, that's part of it. You know, being able to go in more than one area. You know, now 3112, you know, I listen to it, and I listen to a whole lot, you know, but understand this, 3112. You can swim. You are a swimmer. You know, you reared your children. You raised your children. Your children haven't went to prison, things in that nature. You are a swimmer. Like we were talking about a person knowing how to swim last week. Well, you got a lot of them out here with high school diplomas, college degrees.
Yes, sir.
But they can't swim. If you were out there drowning, you would drown.
Yes, sir, I hear you, my brother.
You know, so you know, like a thing is this, you know, and I'm a hoe. Have some education, some street knowledge. You said ghetto, you know, have mother's wit most of all. Am I right, Reverend Doctor? Intervene when you get ready,
mother
you know, and just bring it on, you know. Don't hold nothing back, Reverend Doctor, just bring it on.
I wanted to speak to Don's point, and he was saying that they were driving cotton and the other folk were driving dope. Now, Don, you know that I'm aware that Alabama, Tennessee, I believe it's Georgia, and Mississippi, they have an agricultural piece that's a part of their legislative thing, funding. And President Obama, before he left office, won a major lawsuit against the tobacco industry. And what it did was provide for minorities to get into agricultural development and distribution. Well, now, my silly self, I went and talked to some brothers, and you know what they told me? Man, blank, blank, ain't nobody going back to the cotton fields.
Wow. Hey,
that's what they said.
That's what the money is, though.
But even here in Nashville, TSU, they're holding seminars trying to get people to come over to the agriculture field. But
that's
they don't want to do that, you know.
I see some cotton hill. I don't even know what to say. I bet you I picked
you know,
me something that was called survival for my livelihood and my children.
Well, hold on, though, 8112. Listen to what Outkast is saying. Because he's talking about a land-grant institution now that gets money
sir.
Just
right.
for that. Go ahead, 8112. What are you saying? I mean, 1098. What are you saying?
But, you know, I was looking at it when they had it on news. When I looked at the people that came over to the TSU, you know, to get involved in that, these people were, someone was in their late 60s, you know. I mean, they were older people. I didn't see any young faces in there because the young people, they are more concerned about trying to get a job with a suit on, working for a big firm and things and that nature. They don't want that. So, John, the thing is this. You know, as Reverend Dockery is saying, the opportunity is out there, but this is not what they want to do. Everybody don't want to sell dope, you know.
That's
no. Basically, a lot of the younger people that are going to college or whatever, you know, they want these big firm jobs, you know. And then, too, a lot of them, when they do go to college, they get their grants and things of that nature. Some of them, you know, they buy cars and this and that or whatever, you know. They don't think about saving a little money, you know, to start their own business. See, when I went back to college, getting this degree in horticulture, guess what? Yeah, I took out a loan, but guess what I did? I bought some of the things that I was going to need concerning my business.
Right.
And I hold right there.
Let me add what you're saying. There's a difference in seeking to be rich and having a wealth mentality. See, you can get rich overnight. In fact, we've had people to get rich with the lottery. And a month or a year later, they were flat broke because they didn't have a wealth mentality. Now, so to your point, Outkast, I can't observe the same thing. And down there where Don is, that's one of the major places where they will correct me if I'm wrong, Don. They will actually have a program where they'll actually loan you the land and give you a grant to cultivate it. Can't get none of our folk. All them run around toting pistols and selling drugs and gang banging. They ain't trying to do that though. Is that right, Don?
It ain't funny.
That's what I see, Mr. Dockery. Like I said, I went to the Federal Land Bank, and the reason I went in there because that's how my grandfather got his land there in Dixon County. And I went in there, and I asked him some questions. And when I went in there, like I said, he looked at me and said, we got a $300,000 grant and a $5,000 grant for people to farm. And what I noticed, those ones that are in leadership, they are playing the George Soros game and keeping people miseducated across the airways. And I named the individual Miss Rose Sanders. She's hooked in with Jesse, and that's what they're doing. So this is what I see while I'm down here in Selma.
You call some big people names out, sir. I don't know.
That's
their
name needs to be called out because they're killing our babies.
Well, now,
our babies are going to waste.
Words you choose to use when you go live.
Let me say this. This show is not intending to punish anybody, or it's not my job to correct anybody. So what I don't want to do, Don, as I said at the beginning of the show, is to be offensive in any way. Now, I hear what you're saying. It's some folk right here in Nashville that need to move and get out the way. I'm not going to call their names.
Right.
I'm going to just move them out the way. That's all.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? I'm going to be busy about educating people, empowering them to make the changes that they need for themselves. That's really what the trust factor has to be on. But now, here's the thing. Here's the thing, 8112. When you come to your brother and you come to your sister and you tell them you're out of order, and they get the running off at the mouth, what you do?
Ooh. Yeah.
What you do with that mouth?
I step off
my feet and keep moving.
I know sometimes I tell them how I feel. I ain't no liar now. I may be a lot of things, but a liar, I'm not saying. I will tell them just how I feel, and whether they like it or not, if they're at my house, then they got to leave. And if I'm at their crib, then I got to leave there too. And if I'm in public, I still got to make my way back to the crib.
I got you. Pastor Waller, hey, what you do with that mouth, yes, Pastor? When your folk, you're trying to save them now. Then they turn around and put that mouth on you. What you do, Pastor?
Well, I mean, if you got compassion, you have to understand the power of compassion too, see? And, I mean, compassion don't mean that you're weak. So
right.
You have to know how to approach the person. And I know you were saying some things earlier, and I want to make sure that I let it be known that I've been meditating on some things that I was dealing with in the last past 30 to 40 minutes. And the scripture says, and I wanted to say that the scripture, I didn't say it, so I like that when I do say the scripture said this, can two walk together except they be agreed upon? We was asking,
right,
can we do certain things? If you
yes,
put,
sir,
you know, two people to be in agreement would be a powerful thing. You get 4, 6, 8, 10 and on, you know, walking in togetherness, that's how we accomplish things. I was a 17-year-old little sister that was in the car with my niece not too long ago. That's why I didn't get right on with the broadcast, because I seen the police had stopped the car. I didn't know who it was. I just knew they had a few guys sitting on the side of the road, and it was starting to rain, and they had them handcuffed. So I pulled over based on me being in the neighborhood and the community like I am, and just so happened, you know, it was raining so hard, I took an umbrella out of the car and took it over there and gave it to the sister who was standing there with the police. However, to make a long story short, after I had to drive the car off because they had to take the child to juvenile because they didn't have a driver license, so the sister that was in the car with her had to come with me. And I brought her on up to the ministry. And so as we were talking, I asked her a couple of questions. One was about an enemy. And she shared with me, she said that she don't believe in an enemy. I moved in at the age of 17, how they are heavily influenced on the knowledge of not knowing. And then we
right.
came on around and we discovered, because an enemy is someone that's against you. I said, do you not know whether someone is against you? Do you know whether this person is not against you? How do you know? And then we got to, she came on around and she said, an enemy is one to do harm to you. I said, uh-huh, so there is an enemy. Now, who's doing harm to our community? Are we walking together? You know what I mean? And it's nothing racial or anything, but I'm just using for an example.
Oh, no.
Are the people walking together? And if so, then why would they have those kids searching the car? I'm watching them search the car.
Yeah.
And all it was, just the girl didn't have no driver license. But what are they searching for? The license? What were they searching for? No, they were searching for what? They were searching for, you know what they were searching for, you see?
Pastor.
So we have to do something about this. We can no longer just sit back and think because you stop a person for a driver's license that they don't have, what is the requirement to that? Is it to search for dope? And that's what took place.
Yes.
So, you know, pretty good. We have
to make a comment real fast. I know you guys going to go off. And like I said, I'm going through some things myself right now, which ain't nobody. Anyhow, pray for us. My point, my question, my comment, I'm sorry, was, how can I help you when you're tying both my hands?
Oh. Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Wow,
okay.
It's wrong now.
Yeah. It's
well,
wrong.
Well, I'm going to preach right there.
Can
now,
two walk
Pastor,
together, just agreed upon. You know,
I wanted to ask you a question, Pastor. What they're looking for. It's part of the federal community policing initiative, and they have to establish probable cause. Okay. Now, just right here in Nashville, there have been at least I'm going to say more than 12 shootings. In the last week, okay? And when they come to the neighborhood and they ask who did it, and everybody say, I don't know nothing, they got to try to solve that that crime, right, that incident. Well, what they do, Pastor, is they happen to, if they find any little infraction with the vehicle, let's say it's a dangled tail light or a cracked windshield or a broken mirror on it, that's enough for them to pull over and make an inquiry. Well, they're not all the time looking necessarily for your license or if you did any of those small things, as they are trying to see if there's an opportunity for them to get a gun off the street or dope off the street. Unfortunately, this lady got caught up, you know. Now, I'm sure you would tell her next time, Pastor, get your license and straight before you drive.
There you go.
I assume that you advise.
Yeah, when they get out, because I had to drive the car off. I had to leave my car there and drive the car off and everything. And so I'm looking at the whole situation as a whole, and it goes back to, can two walk together except they be agreed upon? I mean, was it stereotyping? Was it favoritism? Was it negative? What was it to cause you got three brothers on the side of the road that was not in the car? You see? And I didn't know any of that at first. I just found this out later on after it was done. So the moral of the story is that if a person is driving without a license or whatever it is, you have to take them down. Okay, that's one thing. But to search cars, I'm talking about to just tear up everything in the car searching.
They do that out. They're bad for that.
And that's the thing that I'm saying. And so with that going on and nothing not being said, nobody's out on the ground. And these are some of the things that need to be addressed, man. And I think it's nothing against the group of people.
Hold on 1 second, son.
It's just that this is still going on. And I experienced it just a few minutes ago, and you know, I was amazed by it when I found out that those guys wasn't even in the car. You know, that they
Docker.
Hold on. Well, I'm coming to you, Don. Let me let him finish, and then I'll come right to you. Go ahead, Pastor. I'm sorry.
He wasn't even in the car. Ain't that something?
Hold on, 8112. Pastor, were you done?
You know, even though this was on my birthday, okay, and I still took time out, the Bible says, esteem others more highly than yourself. So I wasn't thinking about it was my birthday. I wasn't thinking about anything. All I was thinking about, see the police pull these people over, they're on the curb like this, and so I'm going to put a stop on. I'm going to make a stop. And that's what I had to do. And I'm glad I did because I got a chance to see the hurt, the pain of what we are dealing with in our community. And then you got all these churches around here, man, and they're not stepping out of the building to make it known. You know, if you commit a crime, yes, the law was given but never obeyed, and that's understandable. But, man, what about these young guys that wasn't even in the car, and they still
had not pulled over. In them boys' life. I'm glad.
Hold on, A-112.
The way they was viciously talking to them before I pulled over, once I pulled over, got out, took an umbrella and told them that I was a minister, you could see the calm down take place. Now they went to going through the process in a sensible manner, you understand, like two walking together, you know what I mean? We're in agreement now, okay, but we have to take her down, okay, and it's fine. But they seemed like they was getting ready to be in an uproar about what? And that's the thing, man, that was tough. I was just glad I was there to see it. I know that the problem is still there, and the solution is in the air. It's just about making it manifest, the solution to that problem, man.
Okay. Let me go to Don. He's been waiting patiently. Go ahead, Don. I'm sorry.
Matter of fact, Mr. Dockery, you remember I came down and went to Selma University, and they didn't have a place for me to stay. So I stayed with this minister that owns a used car place here, and he's a millionaire. And when he goes to the auction, he humbles himself around the good old boys, and he don't buy the best of cars. You understand? He buys, you know, at reasonable price so his people can buy them here in the neighborhood. Well, when he goes to the auction in Birmingham, when he come back through this town called Clanton, if they figure that he might have drugs, even in his used cars, guess what they do, Mr. Dockery? They pull his cars over and tear them up.
Okay.
So, yes, this is going on.
Okay. Now, one thing could happen is you can actually go and fill out a complaint with the police department, and they're duty-bound to investigate that.
They're going to shoot
there you. Wow.
No, they're not going to shoot you. They're not going to shoot you.
No.
They're not going to shoot you. You can go to the police department.
They ain't going
to shoot me. Okay, hold on 1 second. You can go and file such a grievance. That's your right to do so. Now, if you try to interfere with whatever's going on, even if it doesn't seem right, then you are obstructing a legal activity, and then you can be charged with that. But, Pastor, what I'm hearing you say is there is a greater need in that area to now, I don't know what the young people were doing there. I don't know who they were or all the circumstances. And it does sound bad what happened, unfortunately. What'd you say, Alcat?
I can tell you what was going on. It's so much going on in this city, not only this city, in every town. It's so much killing going on. It's so much drug dealing going on.
Mm-hmm.
So, therefore, they can stop and frisk if they want to. You know, they can even ask you for your ID. You know, why are you walking? Now, I remember in Memphis, Tennessee, they were doing that a lot. They will stop you and ask you for your ID, and if you didn't have your ID, they would take you to jail. See,
that's right.
They
you
can stop and ask you for different stuff. But the thing is, look at the big picture. You have so much crime going on in these neighborhoods, and going back to what you said, Reverend Dockery, they're looking for guns. Basically, this is what they're looking for. Look at the little teenager that you were talking about last week. Number one, get in the neighborhoods and get those guys in that neighborhood together to stop doing what they're doing, and the heat will go down. Now, I like what Don said. The mafia like this. The mafia don't want to bring no heat, but these Negroes, they haven't figured that out yet. You know, they bring the heat down on themselves. I done been over there on Lafayette over there. That's a hot neighborhood over there, right? I've been pulled over there, and one officer told me that I ran the stop sign. Guess what? I didn't argue with him because I know what you want to do. Here's my driver's license, and here's my insurance. He went back there, ran his little checklist, and saw that I didn't have no warrants on me or anything. You have a slowdown and have a good day. I was pulled over once again. And you know what the officer said? You know,
what's
he took
that?
My driver's license. I asked him, did he want my insurance? He said, no. He said, we're running a survey around here. No problem. But the reason he stopped me, because it was slightly raining and I didn't have my headlights on. I couldn't argue that. But Reverend Waller, that's the problem. It's the people in the neighborhoods. You know, and a lot of people get in an uproar. Oh, they ain't hard to do this, they ain't hard to do that. They are taking care of their business, going back to what Reverend Doc was saying. Let's get these neighborhoods in check. So let's slow this crime down. And then you won't have a problem. I'll hold right there. And
so,
like Reverend Doc was saying, they turn your vehicle up. Go uptown and fit out in a complaint. Don't get angry, because there you are. You asking to get locked up. And I hold.
Well, now, you know, Pastor, you remember I went down to this city in Mississippi, and we were working with the chief of police there, and I facilitated a training there, and I used the Ferguson, the Justice Department did a study on the Ferguson, Missouri issue and what have you, and what they pointed out, 8112, were the mistakes that were made by the police department.
Yes, sir.
Beginning with Darren Wilson. And the point was for them to improve and not do that anymore. Now, here's the thing, though. Here's the thing. Even if you believe that peace officers are wrong or you think they have a bias, it is not your place to correct them on the streets.
No, sir.
And that's a large
not.
Part of the problem.
You're right, and personally, I have a very, very dear close personal opinion about this here. What I did was this. I said, I don't want to see this ever happen to anyone else. That's my heart.
Okay.
And so I still, right to this day,
second time.
Do not know exactly what happened to them, and then you find yourself doing something you never had to do so much before in your life. It's called the very people. Not the very same people, because, see, you have to, it's hard as hell to separate the difference when they all call law enforcement.
Okay.
Law enforcement is my point.
All right.
So, and that's where what you were speaking upon, how do you put that trust back? It's crazy.
So one of the things is we've got to encourage our people to be legal and be in order. But let me go to Don. I'll come right back to that in a second. Go ahead, Don.
Mr. Doctor, I will stop Sunday. I go out and take a walk. And I'm going to be honest with you. One of my siblings came down here and joined the police department. And he yacked his mouth off about me around the police. But what I was going to say to you was, when the young police officer stopped me the other day, I looked at him, and this is what I said to him. I said, you done had 3 African-American mayors. Can't no one of them float a bond. Do you know what the young officer looked at me and said, Mr. Selma done had 3 African-American mayors, and they can't float a bond. And I looked at the young officer. I said, do you know what that means? He said, nope. So why are you on the police force and you don't know that the mayor can float a bond and do development? Mr. Dockery, I also had another experience. I have went up to my brothers here on the police force and looked at them and said, how many stars was on the American flag when we whooped the Confederates? They couldn't tell me. So why are you on the police force and you don't know your history, but the KKK is beating you down? That's what I want to put on the floor.
Yeah.
All right. So... All right, now, here's the thing, though. Again, and I've, you know, Don, I've heard some Morris brothers, the Morris Science Temple, people are more, we did a show on Noble Drew Ali and the Morris Science Temple, and those brothers are taught to identify their birthright of beyond America, and they believe that they're sovereign. In other words, they are above the American law. Only one problem with that. There's only one problem with that. And that is, when you're in the United States of America, the police officers are commissioned to execute the law by any means necessary.
That's right.
And they're commissioned by the people. And I had a young man ask me when I was running for council, he said, what you going to do about these dirty police out here? I said to him, if you find one and I'm your council person, I want you to give me their name and their badge number, and we will send them through due process. If they don't need to be on the force, we'll get them off.
But,
exactly.
Brother, can I ask
you
something? I'm sorry, Pastor. What the hell happens when you stand in front of them, they beating your head to the ground, and you can't get no badge number?
Well, here's the thing.
To call nobody on nobody else. And the
81-12.
Other ones come back, they back. I know what happened.
8112. Now,
I'm sorry. I apologize. I told you
okay,
I'm already.
You're all right. You're all right. Don't worry about it. But I want you to listen to me just for a second. Okay?
Hell, you gonna do that? They beating your head on the ground, tasering you, and killing them.
Okay. So.
And hell, you gonna do that?
Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir. Hold my hand.
Okay, I'm holding your hand. That's called an escalation, right?
Yes,
in that situation. The question is, how does it escalate to that point? And what can you do to keep it from escalating to that point? And this is what
how
Outcast
do you
was saying.
That, Pastor, when you don't know because they're beating your child
on,
down
listen.
And they don't know because they're getting beat up.
Listen to me for a second. Now, I don't know specifically about the details that you may have in your head right now, but I'm saying to you in general.
There's a lot of crooked people. There's good cops, too, as well as bad. That's what's in my head. Good ones as well as bad. How do you distinguish the difference, sir? Pastor, tell me that.
Hold on, Don. I do have a question. Okay, one second. What I like to say very simply, 8112, is that there's a lot you can do to diffuse and keep it from escalating to that when they first come to you.
Yes,
it ain't
sir,
about
you're
to
right.
Listen to me, babe. Listen to me. It ain't ain't about I'm you sorry. Being a punk or being weak. It's about
yes,
you being wise.
Yeah.
Okay? All right. So, now, hold on 1 second. Don wanted to say something, and Outkast had a question. Go ahead, Don, and then we'll
Mr.
go to
Dockery,
Outkast.
As I was reading the naturalization book of the Moors, and I came to realize that Lincoln gave these Confederate amnesty. Now I'm really looking at the brothers on the police force. Lincoln gave them amnesty. And when he gave
right,
them amnesty,
whole,
and Mr. Dockery, but Mr. Dockery, then you
I
turn
did.
Around, kill the man that gave you amnesty, then
okay.
you turn these folks loose. You hear what she's saying now, don't you?
All right. That's another story now. We're not going there. We're not going there tonight. We're not going to go there tonight. I'm sorry. We don't have time. We got 14 minutes. Let me hear your question, 1098.
Well, you know, my question is this. You have black, you have all different nationalities of police on the police force. Now, I
sure.
never hear black people complain about these black officers that beat the black men, and they've
okay.
also killed black men in a long
okay.
run. I only hear about the whites. Now, if we going to do this, if we going to talk about this, let's talk about this now. 12 made a good question, talking about they got your head down to the ground and you can't see a bass, number of things of that nature. Still, here's where your education come in. And still, you go to the police department. Say, I was on a certain street at a certain time, and they got the logs where those police officers at. They got it.
Absolutely.
And they'll tell you exactly who was in that neighborhood. So that's not an excuse. Yeah, they can hold my head down to the ground. They can blindfold me. They can hit me in my face. And I don't see nothing. But I know where I was during that period of time. And they'll go right back and get them. See, excuses. But now what about these
excuse
black
me,
officers?
Sir. You get
in my hometown,
about...
Memphis, Tennessee, when I go home to Memphis, Tennessee, the white officers don't talk bad to me. It'd be them niggas, them Negroes.
Who's the Negroes? You talking about, sir?
But they influenced by the Scottish
police.
Young kids, that's what we supposed to be talking about. And how
yeah,
can
but all this ties
this?
Into that. All this ties into
niggers,
that. Excuses.
Is your child a nigger or a
Negro? You know what I'm saying? They don't say nothing about them niggas. Them nigger police is on the police department.
Because it ain't black and white. Hell, they ain't got nothing to do. It's called
Okay, hold on 1 second. Let's get a little order here. I don't think you're hearing one another right now.
I apologize,
Outkast.
I didn't mean no harm.
You don't have to apologize to me. Look here, get your frustrations off.
It's
I'm
not
trying
about
to bring
my
you to the reality of the thing.
It's about us Japanese kids. My frustration ain't going to get nothing off.
So many kids, look here, a lot of these kids do not want to be helped. A lot of them do not want to be helped. But the ones
once
that want to be helped, those
help,
are the ones
how
that you
can
help.
I help when you're tying both of my hands? We can keep fighting.
I ain't
there,
so
hands
knock the dust from your feet and keep moving.
Outkast, let me have it for a second. 8112.
Yes, sir.
I want you to listen to me. When our children are born, they're not born breaking the law. Okay? Over time, they grow and they're socialized to a certain point that consciously or unconsciously, they wind up being in violation of the law. Who's
yes,
responsible
sir.
For teaching? Listen to me now. Who's responsible
you,
for teaching our children to be in obedience, not only to the law, but what is good and proper? We're
parents.
That's absolutely right. And if their parents don't know, then the preacher or somebody ought to be prepared to teach them. Now, the truth of the matter is we can reduce the number of incidents, violent incidents, where young people are engaging with police officers. We can reduce that. I'm not saying who's right or who's wrong. I'm saying what we can do, and part of the trust factor in the community has to do with trusting one another and working together in the interest of all of us.
Yes, sir, but can I say something? May
sure.
I say something?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead. Yes, ma'am.
I was telling some people close and dear to my heart last night because what they had to their brother. I put a message on Facebook, and I don't do Facebook because I don't know how to work it that well, but I tried.
Okay.
Excuse me. Let God change the things that retaliation is not a good thing. Who's going to win? How has that worked for anyone? There's more parents of both kids having their friend. So somebody done did something to the other person, but they did something to them. That's all I'm
saying. Mr. Dockery.
It's a very, very hurtful and crucial thing. And they need their peers, if they're willing to listen, to step in, such as you guys.
Mr. Dockery?
You can't go by calling them no niggers and no Negro and all that.
He wasn't talking about children. He was talking about police officers.
He was some of them are worse than some of the others.
Okay, he wasn't talking about young people.
Hold
on,
you on that. I was talking about them police officers, what I'm talking about.
He was talking about police officers. All right, hold on
I'm
one second.
Sorry, sir. I misunderstood.
That's okay. That's right. Calm down.
That's okay.
Hold my hand. Go ahead, Don.
And what Big Brother was bringing up, and that goes on in Selma, too, and Freddie said it to me like this, Mr. Dockery. It's called getting crumbs from the master table. So some of these brothers that are on the force that are with their little Masonic Scottish Rite brothers that's getting qualms from them, they do come out in the neighborhood and dog and cuss and beat their folk up. I'm sitting there looking at them.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
You're right about that. He right. Luker's writer, too. I ain't lying. I apologize to you so much, sir.
That's okay. Don't worry about that.
So now you all would concede that the chance that there are some people that meet this criteria that you just laid out is negative, that's not everybody, right? But y'all
No, it's not everybody.
Okay, all right. I just want to make sure we don't leave tonight giving the impression that that's all police officers you see going to do that to you.
No, that's not all of them. But
that works in the police department
like it.
No, cause who you call when you need some help? I'm gonna call the police on you.
Well, you're supposed to. All right, listen, we got 8 minutes, y'all. Master, where you at, man? Listen, let me say this before we leave tonight. You all know we're not going to have a live show on Thursday.
Right.
But we're going to try to put a decent show a previous show. So you, if you're on Facebook, you can go, or you can hit the Blog Talk Radio, BFC Institute /Blog Talk Radio, and listen to the show that we'll have up tonight. But we'll be actually 8112. I intend to address what you're talking about on Thursday night at a public forum. That's where I'll be. And
yes, sir.
I hear what you're saying. I hear your passion. But the truth of the matter is most of the solution lies with a change in our behavior.
Yes, sir.
And we got to acknowledge that.
Yes, sir.
We got to change our behavior. I know that. With that being said, we got a few more minutes. Pastor, did you have a final thought here? You wanted something on that topic before we walk away from it?
Yeah, sure. I basically would like to say, and we were talking about the police officers, you know, what's happening in the community and things, and as our cash raises, the situation is about black police. You know, those brothers were some of them that had been rising, and they were doing things as if they didn't like people that they were harassing.
Yeah.
And as I
sit
there watching
from your, hey Pastor, we're getting some feedback.
Okay,
are you around?
Better now? Okay, yeah, even better now. Okay, as I said, I was sitting there and I was watching. There were some black cops there, and they were harassing those people as if they had broke the law big time. But then, to make a long story short, I sat there long enough, and then I got out of the car, and there was a black guy talking to the sister from whom they was getting ready to take an arrest. And I had the umbrella because it was raining, and as I took it over there, he allowed me to give it to her. But before he did, he didn't accept me coming because I got tennis shoes, my sneakers on, blue jeans, and I don't look like no minister. And I said, I'm a minister, and he just humbled himself, allowed me to give her the umbrella. She said, she got it. To make a long story short, man, had it not been that way, they may have went into another level, as Outkast was talking about. Instead of saying, can two walk together and be in agreement? For real, you without a license, we need to take you down. That would have been an agreement because both parties understand that. But when you go to another level, man, that's like, what is that? Why? And that's the question that we got to be able to raise. Why is it going to that level? And once you get the answers to it, you know, the solution to do a lot of good. In the meantime, we got to keep on fighting for what's right. And it's okay.
Oh, absolutely.
It's okay. Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, we got to correct both sides, first starting with ourselves, though, now. Because the trust is, we got to trust that if we change our behavior, things could change for us for the better.
Sure.
Without a doubt.
Outkast, give me a final thought, man. Dag, it's four. We got 4 minutes to go here. Well, I know. I mean, but it's just so much. But 3112, I always appreciate her input, and she don't owe me an apology and things of that nature. You know, I just hope she keep listening, keep coming, and even though you don't have a college degree, ma'am, that does not mean that you can't speak truth and things that make sense, though. Get up off of that. Perhaps you didn't go to college. I don't know how much education you got, but you have mothers with, you know, you rear children, so therefore you have a place in the game, which is not a game, and I hold.
All right.
Praise God.
Well, I mean, and I want to echo what Outkast's saying. Sometimes people are intimidated at the notion that you don't have a degree. And that's not necessary for you to know what you're talking about, you know.
Right.
But for sure, there's a benefit to those who do have formal education, and it's about us putting that together in the interest of everyone. So I'm not downing education. I certainly promote that. You know, I'm an educator myself by profession and training. So, Don, were you trying to say something right quickly? Go ahead and get your final thought.
I was going to tell the sister, I was really feeding off of her. And I'm glad she was saying what she was saying, because I experienced some of the same things she's experiencing right here in Selma with the police department and the African-American brothers on the police department. But I was educated by some old brothers that was telling me that they moved their main lodge from Charleston to Washington, D.C. And then one brother come in and said they was getting crumbs from the master table. And I said, oh, I see now. They pay these officers to come around and intimidate. So you know what I'm saying? So
right.
I learned in the process, too.
All right. Well, all right. On that note, we got – thank you. I appreciate you, Don, and 8112. We appreciate you. And as Outkast said, no need for an apology. We do want to –
That's right.
You know, don't want to talk over one another, what have you, but no need to apologize. We talking straight tonight. We talking straight tonight. So we appreciate you. Man, time is – I can't believe time has flown so fast here, but www.bfcinstitute.com is the website. Want you to go there and learn about what we're doing. We're going to be back next Tuesday, and I think we probably need to. We didn't get to finish all of this like I wanted to. We probably need to hit that a little bit more. But Pastor, take us out of here, man, and we'll This is your host, Reverend Dockery. Pastor Ricky Wallace, our co-host, on with us, and we're gonna get out of here, and we'll see y'all next Tuesday, not this coming Thursday, but next Tuesday. Pastor Wallace?
Praise God, man. We know that the Bible says, according to Romans 8:28, it says, we know that all things work together for the good, for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Let's walk in his purpose and watch God put things in perspective. Glory to God. Amen.
Yes, sir. And with that, we're going to leave on love train. People all over the world, start a love train. All right.
No worries.